Hello and welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. If you haven't responded to my invitation yet, shame on you. You should go on interviewintensiveacademy.com, and what I'll show you is how to book an interview with an influencer with a 5-day challenge. So interviewintensiveacademy.com, go in and you'll be noticed when the challenge will be live. This is how I built my brand. This is how I started my podcast, connecting with influential people and help me grow my business, get more clients, and expand my reach. And I want to help you do the same. So just go for this 5-day challenge to book an interview with an influencer at interviewintensiveacademy.com. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 249.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabien Raphael.
I'm really excited that you're here again for another episode of the show. Without you, you know that this show will be nothing. Without an audience, a business, a podcast is about nothing. And I have great news for you because you're listening to the podcast. If you want to have hosting with Libsyn, you can now use a special promo code, which is FAB. Three first letters of my name, Fabienne, so F-A-B, and you'll get 1 month of hosting on Libsyn for free. So you just go on libsyn.com and you enter the promo code FAB and you'll get 1 full month of hosting on Libsyn for free. So I was so excited to get that for you, especially for you, my audience, because I think you deserve it, because I appreciate each and every one of you, and I really hope that you will take advantage of this opportunity. So this week's interview is with Marcus Sheridan, and it's very interesting. You will appreciate his sense of humor. He has a great way to teach, to communicate the information, and to make you understand how communicating with your audience right now is the key to success in your business. Not only communicating with words, well, of course, we communicate with words, but I mean, not only communicating through podcasting, but also through videos, through your content, through whenever you write something, either on your blog or sending an email. What are the key elements to have in these communications in order to make this relationship with your audience the best possible, so they can trust you and they can actually take their credit cards off and pay you to get a product or a service from you? So you will learn a lot of content on that, plus other things about his story, and it will really inspire you and make you change your view on how important communication skills are, videos are, and how much it will help you make more sales in your business. So without any ado, let's go for an interview with Marcus Sheridan, and I'll see you in the back end. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, my guest is Marcus Sheridan, and Marcus is the president of The Sales Lion and a partner at River Pools and Spas. He's a highly sought-after global speaker and consultant in the digital sales and marketing space, working with hundreds of business and brands alike to achieve their potentials in a rapidly evolving marketplace, ultimately helping them to become the most trusted voice in their respective industries. So Marcus, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today and have a conversation about some subjects that I'm pretty passionate about. So thank you.
Great. So talking about passion, maybe there was one subject you were not really passionate about and you ended up having a lot of success in that area. And you said yourself, nobody says, when I want to grow old, I want to be a pool guy. And that's what you did for a couple of years, and you were able to accomplish great things with this. But I think you're the proof that it's not necessarily your passion that that shows if you can or not have success. So tell me about this.
Well, you know, I when I graduated college, I was working in the DC area, and I didn't like it. And my it just wasn't a good fit for me and for my wife. And so I decided to move back to where I'd grown up until I found what it was that we wanted to do. And it was my two buddies that just started a swimming pool company at this time called River Pools and Spas. And they said, hey, we just opened up this retail store. Do you want to – it was really small. I mean, pretty much a shack, right? And they said, you can run this little store while we're out in the field installing swimming pools. And so I said, well, until I figure out what I want to do with my life, that sounds good. And so, like many people, I fell into the industry. And after about 6 months, they said, we would love to have you as a partner. And to make a long story short, that's what happened. I became a partner. And, you know, I wasn't passionate about pools. But for a long time, I was passionate about, can I grow something and make it fly, knowing that most businesses fail? Like, is it possible to do that? And, of course, then I became, as we'll discuss probably, passionate about about teaching, and that led me to digital, to blogging, to video, to all these things, which ultimately saved the business and changed my life, right? So I think sometimes we skew the whole passion thing. It's like, I think it's possible to work in a multiplicity of industries if you have the right mindset as to really – so is the passion the industry, or is it the thing, like, is it growth? Is it culture?
Exactly.
Is it sales? Like, you can crush in a lot of industries and love it. I bet you I could be in 50 different industries and love each one as long as I felt like I was using a certain, you know, set of skills.
Yes. Okay. So you were mostly – yeah, passionate about the growth of the company more than being in the pool industry, let's say.
Yeah, like I didn't – yeah, it clearly wasn't something that – and you know what's funny? right after I became a pool guy, because, you know, I mean, I was called a pool guy for years, and I have no problem somebody call me a pool guy because the pool guy story is, has had a huge impact on my life. But but I had a I had this family member. She came to me. She said, so Marcus, I heard – you're now with River Pools and Spas, and you're going to be doing that for a living. And I said, yes. She said, what a waste of potential.
Oh my God, really?
And I thought to myself, you sorry sucker. But I didn't say anything. But, you know, of course, that same little swimming pool company has been featured, and it's been featured on the cover of the business section of the New York Times, multiple, you know, books, publications. Mm-hmm. Now it's the feature of my newest book, They Ask You Answer. It's like, I love it when people say, so do you mind telling the pool guy story? Or sometimes people say, you know, Marcus, I know you've told the story 1,000 times, but for those that don't know your story, would you mind telling it? And it's like they're afraid to ask because they know I've said it so much. I never want to be that person that says, I'm tired of telling my story. It's like my life. Why would I be tired of it? It makes no sense. And when people go down that road, I don't understand it. It's like you became known for something. Own it. It's cool.
Yes.
Embrace it.
Yes. I'm curious to know, though, what happened to that person who thought you were actually wasting your potential.
I mean,
did you happen to show that person like all the articles and?
No, you know what? I think the person probably was it and sees it. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where. I didn't need to say anything, right? It was understood that the individual was offline, off base with what they said.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, you know, we got to be careful about titles. We have this problem with titles in our, you know, one time this was so funny. I'm sorry, this is off track, but I got to say this because we're on the subject. I was interviewing this one person to be an employee of my company. Mm-hmm. And his wife was there, and she was the CEO of an organization. And she said to me, she said, Well, to be honest with you, I don't know how I feel about my husband working for you, because he's done this, this, and this, and you know, basically, I just can't see him, you know, working for a pool company. And I couldn't help but laugh because of the things that we've already talked about. Plus, you know, my company does millions and millions more in revenue than hers does, right? But she just was stuck on this idea of it was a pool company business, and it's just come on, people, let's go beyond the mark a little bit, see the forest of the trees.
Pool is fun anyways. Pool is connected with pleasure and sun and, you know, nice weather and a happy life. This is what pools make me think about.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, it is what we make of it. And just like every business, they can turn their disadvantages and make them advantages.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's another group that will take their disadvantages and hide them forever and feel like it's a shame, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk has never said, you know, well, let's not ever talk about the whole wine guy thing again because I'm kind of sick and tired of it. It's like, come on.
That's what made him, like, yeah, who he is today. The
foundation of who he is today.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go with the fact that you decided to start your blog. It was a birthday present you did to yourself. You wrote thoughts on sales and marketing, and then it became your consulting business, and I guess it evolved into your company today. And there, I found some statistics lately from ConvertKit that says that 14% of bloggers are professional bloggers. So it means that they earn their money from their blog, and their revenue is higher than the median U.S. household. So I'm curious to know if you're surprised about that, and should we say like only 14% of bloggers, or should we say, wow, 14% of bloggers?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard that stat. I think that's an interesting number. I think anybody that is a great teacher will have a job until the end of their days. And the best bloggers are the best teachers and best communicators. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, Warren Buffett recently said the number one skill that will dictate your ability to maximize your revenue, regardless of what you do with your life, the number one skill is the ability to speak and communicate at a high level. It's mm-hmm. the number one skill, and it's unfortunately it's still not taught in schools very well at all, and colleges don't teach it well. And it's just this amazing skill. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with blogging. And now so many people doing video, it's like forcing a lot of people all of a sudden to learn public speaking, communication, all these things. I mean, it won't be long where we don't – when we say blogging, I think we're even going to change the way that we say that. I think – because if you look at it, like at this point, if somebody watches a video – does that count as a blog piece or not? Of course, it's a piece of content. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
Like, what is that? And so,
yeah, I think some people say vlog
so much, right? Yeah. Right. Some people say vlog, but ultimately, all the viewer cares about is, oh, that was either worth my time or it wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, that I started the Sales Lion in November of 2009, and how it happened was, I began content marketing, blogging with River Pools in March of 2009. And so by November, I realized, holy crud, I'm up to something here. Like something is happening and this is going to be pretty cool. And so I decided to document that, basically, the things that I was doing, which turned out to be really innovative. I mean, I didn't realize what I was doing at the time was very innovative in certain regards, especially with blogging. Like, for example, I was talking about competitors really openly all the time. Mm-hmm. I was talking about costs and pricing and stuff like that, which nobody did. Mm-hmm. I talked about the negatives and why people wouldn't buy my products. Like literally, if anybody, our philosophy was they ask, you answer. If anybody's ever asked us the question, we're going to answer it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it blew up. And today, River Pools is the most trafficked swimming pool website in the world. And it all happened because we said, we're going to be the WebMD, the Wikipedia of pools. We will not hide away from any subject. And so I'm like, I got to talk about this. And that's where the sales line was. You know, it's funny. I didn't make a dime off of it for probably 18 months off of the sales line. Mm-hmm. I didn't think like that. I just wanted to share what I was doing. But, you know, then all of a sudden somebody said, can you show us how you did that with your pool company, Marcus? Mm-hmm. Then somebody said, can you share that story at our conference? And then the snowball started to happen. And, of course, now it's a snowball kind of rolling down a hill versus me pushing it up the hill.
Yeah, there's two things that came to my mind when you were talking about that. Well, first of all, you mentioned how Warren Buffett said that communication, or the way to be able to express yourself at a high level, speaking or communicating, is the key to your success, let's say. So from your point of view, what do you think are the key elements that made it for you, or for any good communicator out there? What should they have as a skill?
Oh, yeah.
As
Love this.
Tell me about it.
So to me, you know, too often we talk about writing like it's its own thing, and public speaking like it's its own thing, mm-hmm. and one-on-one communication like it's its own thing. To me, it's all the same. It completely overlaps. It's this beautiful overlap of principles and skills that if we understand them, we can have a major impact not only on our life, but on everybody that we come in contact with. Mm-hmm. I think the first major key is an obsession with the audience. Because if you're obsessed with the audience, be it the audience of one or many, you're always wondering, what are they thinking right now?
Yeah.
Because if you're wondering what they're thinking, well, then you're not saying things that they don't understand. You're very, very aware of, are you crashing and burning? Or am I saying something right now that is so powerful that it just needs – I need to let the wave just go and let it ride a little bit longer, because that joke was so good that just let them laugh. Appreciate not saying something so they can enjoy the moment. See, that's the obsession with the audience. The obsession with the audience is hearing a question and saying to yourself, have I ever addressed that on my website? Or have we ever done that in a video format? Well, why not? Why haven't we done it? Mm-hmm. So I think that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, and it aligns itself with number one, is the moment as a communicator, a speaker, teacher, the moment you try to sound smart is the moment you start to look stupid.
Yes. I totally
agree. We all
agree.
Have this like BS meter.
Yeah.
That we're like, you know, you've watched a video before, in 10 seconds you're like, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Something about the I hate that person.
Yeah, there's something about the expression that changes, right? The the way the person looks, or the way they move, it's different.
It's always because you sense that they sense they're better or smarter than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is never to, quote, impress. That happens naturally. The goal should be that you in this moment are seeking the magical thing that we call communion.
Yes.
That they are able to nod their head and say, huh, absolutely, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That is the singular goal. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't see it that way. And they're so busy trying to look smarter, sound smarter, mm-hmm. prove themselves, that they lose their audience in the process.
Yeah. That's so well said. I mean, I'll probably transcript that like word by word and have it somewhere. That's so well said. I mean, I totally agree with just what you just said there. And then, okay, so therefore, Marcus, what about the scripts? Because when you're communicating, let's say in front of an audience, or you're doing a video, well, of course, it might help to have a good script, or you go with your own words. You prepare for sure for it. But how much of a script should it be, and how should someone own their script to make it sound natural? Like, what's your view on that?
I think this is such a great question. Because of the proliferation of video now,
yeah,
and knowing that whether you're a solopreneur, whether you're a small business or brand, you've got to have a culture of video, period. You know, I own two companies, a pool company and a consulting company. They're not massive companies. Both have a full-time videographer because we have to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, we're running the risk of being left behind. Mm-hmm. And over the last 18 months, I guess, we've done a lot of training for sales teams and subject matter experts of companies on how to how to act and carry themselves on camera. Mm-hmm. And there's just a couple of principles that lead to success. Now, so scripting. I'm not anti-scripting. The problem, though, is that generally speaking, the most successful companies are producing a lot of good to great video content. Not just the occasional great piece, but a lot of good to great content. Mm-hmm. In order to produce a decent amount of that, you can't expect that every video you do is going to be Hollywood. Yeah. And it's not going to be a super high production value. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure, maybe the one that you put on your homepage. But if it's for a blog post that's an embed there, if it's for a social media share, you have to accept that it's not going to be necessarily all the editing, all the scripting, things like that. Now, a couple things. Salespeople get asked questions all the time. Okay, and by the way, we're all in sales, so this is kind of everybody's listening to this. And when somebody asks you a question, do you pull out a script and start to read it? Now, this is, again, assuming that you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the answer is no. Like, you know, if somebody comes to me and says, yo, Marcus, what is content marketing? I'm not like, okay, so let me grab a script here and start. No, it's like I'm going to, like, say it.
Yeah.
Because I've said it so many times. Yes. It's like I sweat this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so at this point, it's just who I am. And so we have two rules that we give companies when their employees start to get on camera. Two main rules. Now, whether they use a script or not, it's their call, but we have two main rules. Here's the first rule, and this is the most important one. That when you start to talk, or in other words, you start to take, once you've started a take, you never stop the take until the take is completed. Now, you say why? In other words, there is no cut. There is none of that. You say why? Because the moment you know you can start over is the moment you start making a lot more mistakes.
Yeah.
And so if you know that you can't start over, then all of a sudden you magically do way more one-take wonders than takes that, you know, like videos that take 4 and 5 and 6 takes. That's when you're frustrated as an employee. That's when you're like, I hate video. This sucks. I hate marketing. I hate everybody. I want to go home. Like, that
stop
is not
it.
Cool.
Cut.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah. And so if you can – really, this is an improv principle. That is yes and. Many people have heard it before. But yes and is always agreeing with what just happened in your mind, moving forward with it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that occurs with other actors on stage in an improv setting. But that also occurs for me as a professional speaker. If somebody in the audience says something like, you're an idiot, I don't start arguing with that person right there. I'll probably say something like, I know, it's crazy that they invited me to be here with you, isn't it? So I can make that a win-win in that moment. That's an example of yes and.
Yeah.
If I'm talking with you right now and I say something that doesn't make any sense, I won't say, you know, Fabienne, let's just start this whole thing over. And I'm going to say that answer again. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say, or another way to look at it, or you could say it like, so in other words, I'm going to just move forward and give another answer.
Yes.
So this happens. It's cool is we average when we go into a company and do video trainings, we'll generally shoot with like sales teams. Let's say they're doing product demos. We'll generally produce 15 to 20 videos in the course of 3 hours.
Mm.
And that's really high.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And people say to me all the time, how do you do that much? It's because at least half the videos are one take.
Exactly.
At least half.
Yeah.
And that's because we have that first major rule. You can't start over. Now, the second rule is this. You can do a second take if you want. In other words, if you feel like, you know, we just did it. We went through it. It was valuable to go through it. But I think I could explain it better. I think it could do better. So you just do it again, but you do the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm.
You do the whole thing again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic behind it. You don't hear that taught in most situations. And this is why most videography companies, when they come into organizations, they turn the sales team and the subject matter experts off, because they stop them all the time.
Yeah.
They force them to be super scripted, like memorize a script. Bull crap. Don't memorize a script, because none of us are good at memorizing scripts. What we're good at is talking to humans.
Yes.
We're good at talking to people and answering their questions. All of us are that. assuming we're decent at our job.
Yes.
And that's what we try to help people do, and it really, really works. And I'd suggest that to anybody that's listening that's doing video.
Because I see you've used that. You use that a lot for yourself, but not only videos, podcasts. I think you have 4 of them. So
yeah.
How has this, either podcasting or video podcasts or videos, shooting videos, has helped you in your marketing strategy and how important it is for you now in your company?
Wow. So for me, for my clients, I think this is such a big deal. I mean, just here's the nutshell on video, and this is how we feel about it with every organization in 2017 and beyond. We feel fundamentally that if we can't show it, it doesn't exist. In other words, every company says it's our people that make us different. Well, if everybody says their people are special and their people make them different, then guess what? You're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
There's nothing special about that. So until you show me, you have to show me that your people are different, I don't believe you. And this is how far we've come along. So it used to be okay that if you could say it, then it was true. Now you have to show it for it to be true.
Yeah, true.
And the obsession we have to have as businesses, big or small, is we've got to show it better than everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible, but that's where this obsession with video comes into play. And of course, podcasting is beautiful because it's so outrageously intimate. The advantage of podcasting, as you well know, but anybody that hasn't done this doesn't necessarily appreciate it because they can't get it. And they're like, oh, yeah, if they listen to podcasts, they know. Like, I have – like at a recent event – this is crazy, Fabienne. I have this one gal. She comes up to me and she says, yeah, Marcus, you were in the shower with me yesterday morning. And I was like, really? Was I now? She said, yeah, I listen to your podcast when I'm in the shower. I'm like – gee, you know what? You can't do that with video. You can't do that. You can't read a blog article in the shower. But you can sure as heck, actually, with my new Galaxy S7, you can because it's waterproof. But the point is, you know what I'm saying. That's the power of it. People say, you know, and I know you've had them today too. Like, you were with me when I hiked at the mountain the other day. It's like, that's cool. That's cool. It's intimate. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too, actually. I love that about podcasting, and there's no limits to it. That's what I love about it. Okay, so since we talked about video and communication and blogs and all of that, how should someone, let's say an online business owner, interconnect their content through several channels? Because we all know that people don't necessarily share their value only on a podcast or only on a blog, but usually they have a YouTube channel, they have a podcast, they're on social media platforms. So how should someone interconnect their content? Should it still stay the same, let's say, piece of content throughout a whole week and then try to just repurpose their content depending on the platforms they're on? So yeah, I just wanted to hear you about that.
This is a tough question, isn't it? Right? Because we're only so – we can only do so much.
Yeah.
And we can only be so many places. And the issue with social media in general – is that a lot of people try to be a jack of all social media trades and they end up being a master of none.
Mm-hmm.
And they never truly do anything well. So they do a lot of things just okay, but they never become known for something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the smartest thing I ever did with my swimming pool company is I got rid of all my retail I had 2 really nice retail stores. I sold above ground pools. I sold hot tubs. I sold tanning beds, pool tables, all of it. Smartest thing I ever did was I got rid of them and I said, we're going to do the one thing we can do better than anybody. We're going to do fiberglass pools. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have retail stores. That was a great decision. And then when I really got into this whole content marketing thing, I didn't try to become a social media expert. I said, you know, my focus is going to be on content strategy and on HubSpot. Those were my 2 main areas of focus because I was a HubSpot user. It made sense. And so we crushed it with both. That's why I've got a podcast just on HubSpot, just for HubSpot users. It's my most profitable and least listened to podcast. And that's the thing that a lot of people, they miss the mark on, is it's not necessarily in the quantity of the audience. Because, I mean, everybody's heard this, but the riches are in the niches is a beautiful adage. It's very, very true. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you have that singular focus, you can become the best in the world at that thing. But when you try to be all things to all people, then you become less happy, less successful across the board. Now, that being said, getting back to your question, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with sharing the same piece of content on multiple channels because most people have one home base. Most people either they spend a lot of time on LinkedIn or they don't. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of time on Facebook or they don't. They spend a lot of time on Twitter or they don't. And so sometimes we have to be really careful because what will happen is because we feel like we're sharing it in too many places, we don't. But the reality is our audience is divided across the board and we've got to go where they are. I mean, we really, really do. It's the same with platforms. It's like sometimes when people tell me I'm not good on video and I don't really watch video, so I'm not going to do video. Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard because the buyer, consumers, they don't care about what you and I do or do not do. They don't care if you and I like Facebook or not. They don't care if we are good on video or not. What they care about is how do they want to buy? Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to learn what to buy through video, well, then we sure as heck as a business better give it our attention. And, of course, the stats show that by 2019, 80% of all the internet usage will be video-based or visually-based. And I would throw VR into that 80%. Mm. So that's nutsos, right? That's mm-hmm. nutsos. So we've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone at this point. And plus, I mean, let's be honest, right? The moment you ask somebody for their money is the moment you lose the right to complain about meeting them where they are. Mm-hmm. You can't. So if I'm going to say, Fabienne, did you want to go ahead and go forward with the contract? I'm basically saying, may I please have your money? Mm-hmm. And I need you to trust you enough. I need you to trust me enough to give me your money. Well, if I'm going to do that, you have to know me. And for you to know me at this point, 2017, you want to see me. You want to hear me. You want to have a sense for me. You like want to feel me. Like, yes. Am I feeling this guy or not?
Yeah.
That's absolutely where we are.
Yeah.
That's where we are. And we've got to be obsessed with, is it possible for us to do that better than the competition? Mm-hmm. And it is. It is.
Yes. Yes. Again, great explanation there, and I guess that people got it. I mean, they should start doing videos if they're not doing it now.
Well, they don't have to, and they can be the next JCPenney's and Sears of their space. It's their call.
Let's leave it on them. All right, Marcus, if people want to connect with you and know more about you, where should they go?
Well, the best place to go right now is Amazon and pick up my book, which is They Ask, You Answer. Mm-hmm. And if you've wanted to be great at content and at digital sales and marketing, this book is it's going to light a fire underneath you. And it's got a lot of innovative ideas for B2B and B2C companies. And so just type in They Ask, You Answer in Amazon. You can email me directly, though, if you're listening to this and you have questions, because I think direct contact is still pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And that is Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, at thesaleslion, L-I-O-N.com. Marcus at thesaleslion.com, and I'm at thesaleslion on the Twitters as well.
All right. Thank you so much for such a pleasant interview. I had lots of fun.
My pleasure.
Again, another great episode with Marcus Sheridan talking about the key elements for communication and the key elements to make more sales in your business. Again, I re-invite you to register for this 5-day challenge of booking an interview with an influencer. InterviewIntensiveAcademy.com. You don't want to miss that because I share only what works in this challenge. Plus, I just wanted to let you know that next episode 250 will be a special episode. So again, you don't want to miss it. I won't tell you what it's about, but if you are on my email list, if you are a subscriber, well, of course, you'll know about it probably before anybody else. But if you're not, you'll have to wait until the next episode. So So I hope that you had a great week and you're crushing it in your business. And I'll see you again next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.